Good morning and welcome to Calendar Bay Church Online. Glad to have you here with us this morning. And if you're watching live, we'd love it if you could leave some comments. I think it's on this side. There's some, if you're watching this on YouTube Premiere and you're able to comment, let us know you're here so we can say hi. And thank you so much for being a part of Calendar Bay Church Online as we are really trying to, make the best of this situation that we've been presently placed in. Just to give you a little bit of an update, as far as the COVID-19 virus, the Ontario government on Monday extended the time period for another 28 days. So I think that's early May. I'm not sure of the exact date, but it's going to be at least 4 more weeks where we're going to be meeting together online. And so I'm thankful to the technology, particularly thankful to Tyler Yanta, who's been doing so much work in the background. He's done an amazing job, a wonderful resource that we have here at Calendar Bay Church. So thank you again, Tyler, for all your work. So looks like we're going to continue to be in this environment for about another 28 days. So let's make the best of it, and today we're going to worship the Lord, we're going to look into God's Word, and I'm really excited to be able to share what we've got for you today. You can also help. You know, this is a day where we have still have expenses, even though we're not meeting regularly. In some regards, I'm finding that there's more work now just because of differing circumstances. So we do give you the opportunity to be able to give, and you can do that a couple ways. Number one, you can just mail it regular mail, and you can send your donation that way. Or the other way is to give online, which is probably the easier of the two. And so you can just go to our webpage, calendarbaychurch.ca, and there's the About tab, and you click there, and there'll be some ways that you can give to Calendar Bay Church. Thank you again, everyone, for your generosity as we serve the Lord together here in Calendar. We've been giving you some opportunities just to be able to connect. And if you're not on our daily encouragement list or not on social media, make sure that you do. The social media, we post some different videos, devotions, worship songs, funnies, pictures, all sorts of things. And we also give those in the daily encouragement, which is a way that you can connect via email. And so if you're not on our daily encouragement list, you can either comment or you can email us here at the church, call us, and we'll get you on that list. And so just some ways that we're trying to make sure that we can stay connected with people. Also, prayer requests. If you have a prayer request that you'd like to get on our prayer chain is still running. All you have to do is email prayerchain@calendarbaychurch.ca. And if you do that, the congregation will be praying with you as you go through whatever it is that you need prayer for. So the importance of prayer during this time, we'd encourage you to do it individually, but as a church, we want to be praying for you as well. We also come up with each week a worship playlist that has some songs that fit in with the theme for the week. And so if you would like to listen to that, there's a link with the video here. There's also a link on our a webpage about it. And so it's kind of a little bit hard right now, but before the service comes on, I put the playlist on, and then that way I can listen to the worship songs even before we get into the worship today. And so, hey, maybe that's a way, or maybe it's something that you can do while you're doing your kids' ministry. Which is another thing that we want to let you know about, the Discovery Bible Study. Each week we put a Bible study for kids online along with, and it lines up with the message that week. And so if you want to use that, you can use it with your family, or you can use it with your just with your kids, whatever way you want to use it. It's a resource there to help you to be able to develop and lay down good spiritual foundations in your homes, which is really where the large portion of it should be taking place anyway. And so use the Discovery Bible Study. There's one for each message. Since we've started this whole online church, you can access those for each week. Well, we want to take an opportunity this morning just to be able to worship the Lord. And so we want to sing together. The words are going to be coming up on the screen. 10,000 Reasons, just a wonderful song of reflection to be able to reflect and help us to be able to worship the Lord. And you be thinking as you're singing of the things that you are thankful for.
Seem like never before.
Amen. We do have so many reasons in order to be able to worship the Lord. And I hope that you're thinking about some of those things, that the good things that God is doing in your life, and to be able to lift those up as praises before the Lord. Psalm 86:12 reminds us, I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forever. Amen. Well, we want to continue on a series of messages called Who is This Man? Talking about the life of Jesus and its his impact on us and on history itself. And so we're going to be taking a look at something that I have to admit, I don't think I've ever actually heard a message on this topic before. And as I've done some research, I found a few things, but not something I've ever really heard anybody. So I'm hoping that out of this, you will be blessed and encouraged, and some thoughts to provoke your thinking. I want to talk about Easter Saturday. Now, that's probably not a phrase that's very common. I don't think I'd ever heard of it before. And so Easter Saturday is what we want to talk about. You know, the Easter story is kind of built over 3 days. Good Friday, Easter Sunday, and there happens to be this one day that falls in between. And most of our attention, rightly so, is focused on either end of that, Good Friday or for Easter Sunday. Now, Good Friday, it's fairly obvious why our attention is pointed that direction. It's the dark day, the dark part of the story, as we reflect on what Christ had to endure, that he was beaten, that he was crucified. And so it was a very, very dark, dark Friday. And sometimes we as evangelicals, we don't like to focus on the dark and the bad things. I remember one pastor used to be at Laurentian Wesleyan Church. We used to do the Good Friday service when I was on staff at Lakeshore. And so it was actually, I think, one of the first services that ever was a part of was that service. And so there was Lakeshore and there was Laurentian Wesleyan and there was First Baptist. And it's kind of the precursor of now what is the big Good Friday service that takes place in North Bay. And Morley, who is the pastor at Laurentian Wesleyan Church, often talked about how, you know, sometimes we as evangelicals, we like to focus on the happy side of the story and not dwell in the darkness. The Easter story does have that dark side to it. It's the day that Jesus died. It's a day of loss. The disciples were wrestling with their grief and their loss. And so they were going through a very hard time. It was kind of that nightmare day. I don't know if you've ever had a nightmare day where everything just seems to go bad and it goes wrong. And so it's one of those days that you just, what was it? There was a kid's book, this The Bad Awful Day or something like that. One of those days where just things don't go right. And on one of those days, it's often also an adrenaline day where you're just running on adrenaline. If you've gone through a tragedy or a hardship, and there was that day where you just were running on fumes and adrenaline, and then at the end of the day, you just kind of crash. And that's what happened with on a Good Friday. And then there's the other side of the story. There's Easter Sunday, where we celebrate the resurrection. We celebrate that God is accomplishing his purposes, the victory over death. And so it's kind of that hallelujah day. That's what we have when we have Easter Sunday. And so it's the death-defying, grave-defeating, fear-destroying, hope-inspiring, transcendent joy in the history of the world. That's Easter Sunday. That's Resurrection Sunday. And so here we have the two sides of the coin. We have the day where things went bad, and we have the victory day at the end of it all. And even Paul kind of encourages that same thinking. He says, for what I received, I passed on to you. This is from 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died Friday for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried Friday, and that he was raised on the third day, Sunday, according to the scriptures. And so here we see the importance of Friday and Sunday in the story. Paul says it's of first importance. And so here we are on Saturday, the day before this and the day after that. So it's after Good Friday, but it's before Easter Sunday. It's that day in between. It's Saturday. There's only one Saturday reference really in Scripture, and it's found in Matthew 27. And it says, the next day, the one after Preparation Day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. And sir, they said, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver, and they're talking about Jesus here, said, after 3 days I will rise again. So let's give orders for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. And so they had heard Jesus talking resurrection. And so they thought, well, it's probably a good idea then, because the disciples may want to steal the body or whatever. And so we're going to put a guard on the tomb. That took place on Saturday. But beyond that, there is really no other references of what went on that day. And so here we are on Saturday. This is Saturday. And so what's happening with the disciples and Jesus' followers on the Saturday? Well, Saturday is the day when you have to carry on. You know, you had your dreams and you had your aspirations and you thought Jesus was going to do all those things, but now is the day that you have to get up and you have to start pressing on and carrying on. The disciples were probably exhausted. The day before Good Friday, Jesus had been arrested at nighttime. And so they probably had not slept for almost 48 hours when this was all said and done. So here it is that Jesus is up with his disciples. Jesus gets arrested. All that takes place with the mock trial. And then eventually Good Friday. And then now we're at Saturday. So they're probably really feeling exhausted, and they are also feeling extremely defeated, because they thought that their life was going in one direction, but here we find that Jesus is dead, his followers are scattered, and so they are feeling completely defeated. And probably they're wondering where, you know, it's that moment where you're reflecting and trying to figure out, where did it all go wrong? What happened? Was it something Jesus said? Was it something we did? Is it, you know, all these different questions that are popping into their minds of why in the world did this go so bad? And so here they sit on Saturday. You know, probably in your story, you know what it's like to have that kind of Saturday day. It's the day after the diagnosis. You know, you went to the doctor and you get that diagnosis, you know, you have cancer or you have something. And it's the next day after that, and you realize that you still have to keep pressing on. It's the day after the accident, when something happened which now has changed your life forever, and it's the day after. It's the day that you have to get up and try to keep pressing on after something really bad happened. It's the day after the failure. You know, maybe you had your hopes that you were going to buy that house, and now all of a sudden it all fell through. The financing didn't come through, and you're now living on the other side of that. Maybe you were applied to a school, and you got the letter saying you've not been accepted. And so whatever the failure is, maybe it's the day after you found out that there was the affair was happening. Whatever the failure was, you're now on the day after it, and you're trying to figure out how to press on. In many gay ways, it's the day the dream died, but you're still alive. The green dream that you had of all sorts of things is now dead. But you're still pressing on because you're alive. And you don't know how to go on. You don't know how to carry on from here. Probably the disciples were saying the same things. Where do we go? How do we do this? How do we press on? We invested our lives into this, and now it's all gone. It's all gone. And how do you go on? And the other thing is you don't know why you should go on. The why question, you don't know how you're going to go. And then the why question, you don't know why you should go on. All the purposes that you had in life seem to all be gone. And so you're wrestling with how to carry on and why you should even bother. Why is there Saturday? Well, you know, from most of the time when you think of Saturday, nowadays you think of the weekend and the good things and plans that you're going to have. But in our story, Saturday is just the day in between two events. Good Friday took place, Easter Sunday took place. Like, why is there need to be this? It doesn't further the story any. Doesn't make it better that we had to extend it over. You know, the victory is still coming. So why didn't it just happen the next day? Jesus died the next day. Bah! You know, it would be more efficient. We would be a much more efficient handling of things. Why does there need to be this? Why did 2 days have to do? Why couldn't you accomplish it in 2 days instead of 3 days? Because there are significant lessons that we learn on Saturday. I don't know how else to put it. Saturday is very important because there are so many significant things that we learn on Saturday that we can't learn anywhere else. You know, the Bible is full of third day stories. Now, this is really cool. I found this to be extremely fascinating. As you go through the Bible, you see that there are third day stories everywhere. Abraham, the story of Abraham. Now, if you don't know the story of Abraham, Abraham has been waiting for the birth of his son to fulfill the promise that God had given him, that his descendants would be many. And so he finally has his son. And then God says to him, would you sacrifice him to me? And so Abraham is in this moment. And so he's been told this horrible thing. And he doesn't know that there's a third day coming. But it says in Scripture that 3 days he had to go through this difficult process until eventually God redeemed him. 3 days. Jonah and the fish. Jonah is running away from God, and they try to figure out what to do. And so the sailors throw Jonah overboard, and he gets swallowed by a big fish. And so what happens to Jonah? He's running away from God. The bad thing has happened, that they're in the middle of the storm. And eventually he gets spewed out and gets the opportunity. But for 3 days, where is he? He's in the fish. And God teaches him in the fish. The third day is going to happen, but there's that period in between. Rahab hid the spies, and you'll never guess how long it was. Rahab, the spies were the people that were scouting out the promised land to make sure that they could go in, and they got themselves in a situation where they need to be hidden. And so Rahab hid them, and then after 3 days, they were able to go back safely. But for that period in between, they were hidden and they were scared. God used that to teach them. Joseph's brothers in jail. The story of Joseph. Joseph throws his brothers in jail for 3 days for them to kind of think about what's going on. And eventually, he releases them, and then they have the happy ending story of the story. But they're in that period in between. Esther has been revealed that something bad is happening, and she has to go talk to the king, which was something, if you requested it, you could be killed for this. And so for 3 days, she has to wait until, and it says in Esther, on the third day, the king received her favorably. And so here we have all these third day stories. Hosea 6, 1 and 2 talks about the fact that it says, come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. And after 2 days, he will revive us. And on the third day, he will restore us, that we may live in his presence. And so God says, even though this bad has happened to you, on the third day, I'm going to renew you and you're going to be in my presence. And this is a pattern throughout Scripture that God has something happen, which is not so good, and eventually God works it out. But there's that period in between. And this is the problem with third day stories, is that you don't know it's a third day story until it's the third day. If you're going through something difficult and hard, you don't want to hear from people that, it'll work out, it's all going to be good. Because at that precise moment, you don't know that. You don't know that God's going to work it all out. You can kind of trust and believe in that, but you don't know it. And those people in Scripture, all of them were going through difficult things. Did they know that the third day was coming? No, they didn't. They were just walking through the Saturday moment. You know, for Leaf fans, I'm a Toronto Maple Leaf fan, and it's a cross to bear. I understand that. And with Toronto Maple Leaf fans, they last won the Stanley Cup in 1967. And so they have been in this period of Saturday ever since. It's always Saturday. Yesterday was Saturday. Today was Saturday. And tomorrow was going to be Saturday as well. And so it's just this constant unfolding of, well, we don't know if this is ever going to work out. It's always, always Saturday. And there's probably only one thing that you can do as a Leaf fan, is the secret to being a Leaf fan is lower your standards. Don't have too high of expectations. And sometimes that's what it feels like when you're in the Saturday moment. Maybe you just have to lower your expectations because you don't know if God's going to come through. But God is going to be working through these things. Because in many regards, all of life is a third day story. Let me explain. I find this to be really interesting. In Genesis, it records that in the Garden of Eden, there was a tree, and it was called the Tree of Life. And at that point, when they were in the garden, everything was good. But we know that the story unfolds in a bad way. Sin enters the world, and they eventually are kicked out of the garden, and we are been paying for that original sin from the beginning. And so here we have, on one edge of time, at the beginning of time, the Tree of Life. Now it goes on and it says in the last book of the Bible, which is Revelation, it talks about that there is another tree. It's the Tree of Life again. It makes a reappearance. And so in the Tree of Life is found again. And it's at that point in time when everything is being made right again. It's fascinating that when the Tree of Life reappears, it's actually not in a garden anymore. It's in a city. I think that's kind of fascinating in the sense that, you know, we've now become a more urban world, and the at the beginning of time, it was in a garden, and at the end, it's moved to the city. And maybe that's just an image to show us, for those of us who have been urbanized, you know, that God is still unfolding his plan and that the tree. And so we live within this, the two trees. The beginning of time when everything went bad, and then the end of time when God is going to make everything right again. And what Jesus did was that he entered into time. All of us, all our history is Saturday, living between these two trees. But he sent Jesus to die on a tree, which is an interesting illustration, don't you think? That Jesus comes in the middle of time, and dies on the another word that they use to describe the cross is on a tree. And so Jesus dies on a tree to help us move from one tree to the other. The ultimate working of this tree, the tree that Jesus died on, the cross, is the fulfillment that happens in Revelation. And that is going to be the ultimate working of everything being made right again. But we live in the period in between. Some have called the Saturday in between Good Friday and Easter Sunday, Silent Sunday. Because from our perspective, it looks like God is doing nothing. It's quiet. You can see that God was doing things on Good Friday. We can see that God is doing things on Easter Sunday. But in the time in between, it seems very quiet, very still, and God doesn't seem to be doing much. God seems to be very silent and absent during this time frame. That we can't really see what God's up to. Maybe that's why a large part of the Psalms are what's known as complaining Psalms. It seems that we are in this Saturday for an extended period of time. And so we're wondering why? What in the world is God doing? Why are you not speaking more clearly? Why are you seeming to be absent? Why are you so silent? And so that's why. Listen to what Psalm 13 says. And I call it a Saturday Psalm. Psalm 13. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? How long am I going to be on this Saturday? Where I don't see what you're doing. I don't know what you're up to. I just seem to be in Saturday. But God is doing things in the silence and on the Saturdays. Things that he probably can't accomplish any other way in your life. The lessons that we learn on the Saturday are probably some of the most significant and important lessons that we are ever going to learn. I have learned a lot through people's Saturday stories. The Bible records a Saturday story, and it's a whole book of the Bible that records a Saturday story. The book of Job is a story, and actually, many theologians think that Job was probably the first book that was ever written. The first book chronologically in time that was ever written was Job. And what is it a story of? It's a story about something happened to somebody who was a good person and all the suffering that happened. And it's a story of something bad happened and ultimately God working out his purposes and bringing things back to right. But it's a Saturday story. It's the story about the time in between and the wrestling that goes on and the lessons that Job has to learn in the middle of the silence. C.S. Lewis wrote a book on grief and loss called A Grief Observed, and it's a Saturday story. It's a story written about the passing of his wife, Joy, which is really kind of funny. Not that she died. That's really sad. That didn't come out right. But he had written a book called Surprised by Joy. And Surprised by Joy was his book about his coming to Christ and how it was the joy that he found in Christ. And so being so surprised by that. But his contemporaries and his friends made fun of him because he actually eventually married a woman whose name was Joy. And so they said, well, you really wrote that about joy, Surprised by Joy. But just shortly, C.S. Lewis married late in life. I think he was 57. And Joy passed away from cancer very shortly afterwards. And he wrestled with it. and it was hard and it was difficult, and he wrote a book that chronicalizes his journey, and there is so much to be learned on his Saturday story. Jerry Sitzer wrote a book called A Grace Disguised. In A Grace Disguised, he tells the story of his they were out on a daily act, or like an activity. They were just having a fun day as a family, and they got hit by a drunk driver. And in that accident, his mother died, his wife died, and his daughter died. The loss of three generations in one accident. And he goes through the struggle and the difficulties and the hardships that he learned on the Saturday, and how he eventually comes to see the accident that happened as grace disguised. Laura Story is best known as a songwriter who wrote the worship song Indescribable, and she had a number one song with the song Blessings. And Laura's story in her book, When God Doesn't Fix It, tells the story of when her husband had a brain tumor and all the operations that took place, and how he never ever returned to who he was in the beginning, and all the lessons that she learned on the Saturday in between. You know, in my own life, this past year has been a very big Saturday story for us. We're coming up to 1 year ago that our son Stephen passed away from epilepsy, and all the difficulties and the hardships, and the crying out to God in the midst of all this stuff. And you know, you probably have your own Saturday story of when something happened, and there's that process that's in between. And it's in that process that God wants to teach you so much. Let me just give you very quickly, as we wrap things up, some of the Saturday lessons that I have learned in the middle of it. Number one is to be still and know that He is God. Sometimes we get so built on activity that we miss what God is trying to do. And I have learned that it's in the stillness that God really speaks. Don't you find it kind of strangely ironic that this virus has forced us to be still? That we can't run from activities to activities? We can't just go shopping whenever we want? That we are being forced to be still? Don't miss what God is trying to teach you in the middle of this. God wants you to be still and know that He is God, and He is giving you an opportunity to be able to do that. So don't miss it. Don't miss the fact that He wants us to be still and discover who He really is. I have learned in the midst of all that I am going through that God never leaves me and He never forsakes me. You know, in one of C.S. Lewis's books, in the Narnia series, one of my favorite series, love the Narnia books, but probably one of the least known book was the one A Horse and His Boy. And in A Horse and His Boy, he tells us, it's about this boy who, when he seems to be running into this lion throughout the story, and this lion is terrifying to him and keeps making him go in different directions than what he was originally planning to. But in the end, he discovers that that lion was really Aslan, who was a Christ figure in the book. And so the times that he thought that really he wasn't being led or guided, the lion was doing that. Even when he didn't know that God was the one that was leading him, he was being led. And God wants and He wants you to know that even when you don't see Him and you don't know that He's working, that God is still working and He's still there. His presence is guaranteed in the midst of the Saturday moments. We need to trust in the Lord and lean not on our own understanding. You know, God wants us to learn to trust in Him. And usually it's when we have what normally we lean on. And this is, again, another thing that I've been learning, even in the midst of what we're happening right now. We've had all the things that we really kind of lean on being taken away. And God is saying to us in the midst of this, you can trust in me. You don't lean on your own understanding. Trust in me. And you will find, the end of that verse says, and you will find that I will lead your paths. I will lead you where you need to go if you trust in me and put your trust in me. Don't trust in all this other stuff. Trust in me. The great lengths. I also learned the great lengths that Christ will go on my behalf. This is really, I think, probably one of the biggest lessons that we learn from the Easter Saturday story. You know, we talk about Christ dying on our behalf, and we talk about him being raised to life. But on Saturday, he was dead in the tomb. And that's what he did for me. He was willing to be dead for me. Probably the angels would have been completely shocked that the God of the universe allowed himself to be laid into a tomb and was dead. And in that silence, God is waiting to unfold his greater purposes. God wants very much to show you the great lengths that he is willing to go on your behalf. And the last one is that even when I don't see it, I know that he's working. I've already kind of hinted at that. That God is still working, even on the Saturdays when it seems like he is silent and he is absent. That God is ultimately working out his purposes. That God is still working things out for good. That God is still making you into what he wants you to be. That he who began a good work in you is going to be faithful to complete it. And so God is still accomplishing his purposes. God is still making a way. Even when we don't see it, God is making a way. And I want to close off with the song Waymaker. That God is making a way, even on those days when he seems that he is silent, when he is seeming to be absent. This is what the words to Waymaker say. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. I don't know where you are on your journey. But if I know anything, that I know that many of us are in that Saturday. And we're feeling like God is not there. We're feeling that he's absent. We're feeling that our prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. And God wants you to know that even when you don't see it, he's working. It's hard to trust God in the midst of those Saturday moments. But sometimes we need to walk. Actually, more than sometimes, we have to walk that path. Because God is going to teach you things. There are things that he has taught me on the Saturday that are the most significant lessons that I have ever, ever learned in my life. And so let's let God be the way maker in our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that even when we don't see it, we know that you're working. And we pray, Father, that you would continue to work out your purposes in our plans, even on these Saturday days when we don't understand what's going on and we don't know what's being accomplished. We know that you are accomplishing your greater purposes. And so, Father, we thank you that you are our waymaker. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing it together. Amen. He is the waymaker. I would encourage you, you know, even in the privacy of your home, that, you know, if God spoke to you this morning, to just take a moment and to pray and just ask for God to continue to teach the things. Or maybe you just need to have a special encouragement from the Spirit right now as you've been walking through these kind of Saturdays and you're not sure when you're going to get out of it. You know, why don't you just take a moment and pray with those that you're with in your house and just ask God to continue to do his work. Well, I'm going to close off the service portion right now. I want to say God bless you. I hope you have a great week. And I'm praying that that you will be kept safe and that your family will be kept safe in the midst of this COVID virus. And I just want to encourage you to continue to wash your hands, socially distance, keep your distance, stay home if it's all possible. Thank you to those who serve in essential working environments to keep the economy going. And so we want to say God bless you. Hope that you have a great and wonderful week. I'm going to do a little game or activity in just a second. I'm just going to get set up. So I'm just going to let the video run for a minute, and then I'll be back in a few minutes. But just take some time, pray, and I'll be back in just a minute. I really did lose what I was doing. I set it down somewhere and I can't find it. Oh, there it is. I did have where I thought it was going to. All right. I thought I would just kind of play a game. So you need to get a piece of paper and a pen. I'm going to hold up some pieces of paper, which have got some letters on it and stuff. And I want to see if you can guess out. They're kind of, they mean something different than what they are. So I'm going to hold them up and then. Okay, that's number one. Number one. Okay, you got it? Number one. Number two. Number two. I'm so good at this. Number three. Can you see it? Number four. Number five. There's eight of them. Number five. Number six. Number seven. And last but not least, number eight. Number eight. Okay. Here we go with the answers to our game this week. This one. Seven C's. Seven C's. Well, I know, but it's a joke on the fact that they're sailing the seven seas. Okay. Three degrees below zero. Zero, the line, and then 3 degrees that are below it. 3 degrees below zero. Okay, so there's lines reading between the lines. Reading between the lines. One in a million. The word one in the middle of the word million. One in a million. Crossroads. It's a crossroads. Crossroads. This is the first aid. There's three of them. First aid. It's Jack in a box. And the last one. Backwards glance. There you go. So how did you do? Did you get one right? Did you get two right? Anyway, hope you got them all right. Have a great week. Bye now.